the new book of the old book of Jeremiah. And last week, or 2 weeks ago when we just started this, that's before our missionary came and spoke last Wednesday. But God speaking to Jeremiah, we learned some great things at the beginning of chapter 1, that God knows you before you were ever formed in your mother's womb. That life was expected before life was conceived. You know, God knew him before he was formed, before he was put together inside of his mom's womb. And that God had called him, even then, to be a prophet for his name. Something we looked at last week is that God does the calling. We saw that in men's group yesterday, that God called Paul to be an apostle. It wasn't the man's idea to be a preacher, to be a prophet, to be an apostle. It was God's idea that placed it in the heart of man to do these things. And he actually prepared the way. And then God told him that there would be really hard things that he had to speak. But he had to speak it with truth, with honesty, and only speak what he heard God saying. God was, remember in Jeremiah's time, this is before Nebuchadnezzar came in. And God was about ready to do an extremely hard thing to a rebellious and a stiff-necked people. Israel had turned away from the statutes. They had turned away from the commandments of God. They were God's people. God chose them out of all the nations of the world, that this would be my holy seed. This will be my holy people. But when they got into the promised land, just like the Lord warned Moses, when I bring you into a land that you will move into houses that you haven't built, you'll have fields that you haven't plowed, you'll have vineyards that you didn't plant, all those things, then you'll forget about me. And they did. And they did over and over and over again. Now they've come into the promised land, into Jerusalem and Judea, and they had conquered as much of the land as they were going to. All right, and God was moving, still desiring that the people would worship him, and that the Hebrew people, the Israelites, the true Israelites, would desire to walk holy before God. But the people decided not to do it. Not all of the people, because we know that there are many prophets during that time. Isaiah is one of the prophets during that time. Daniel is one of the prophets during this time. During the captivity, Jeremiah, you know, of course, he's a prophet. Ezekiel, he's a prophet. I think Hosea is in that block of time, in that same area. So there are a lot of God-fearing, God-loving individuals that God was going to bring into bondage, not because of their righteousness, but because of the unrighteousness of the people of God. God's about ready to do something to this nation, America. It is not that there aren't holy people, but it isn't that there aren't people that love the Lord, that fear God and walk holy with him. But the majority of the people in this nation have no fear of God. They've turned their hearts, they've turned their backs. They're doing things that are right in their own eyes. They're not believing what the scripture says. Unfortunately, this is a lot of the church. The modern evangelical churches today are believing another gospel, which is not the gospel of Christ. It's not the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of feel good, bless me, feed me, make me fat today, right? And unfortunately, that's the way that we're going. And the good news about it is this ain't the first time. You know, because we're looking in Jeremiah, and God is dealing with him to try to draw the people to repentance before the judgment of the Lord comes. I think that's our job today, is the church. We need to be drawing people to the reality of a fearful God, all right? That in his greatest heart's desire is to bring the church back to a right understanding of the holiness of God and how we are supposed to be acting and living. Not acting, because acting holds with it hypocrisy, the way that we think of it, like an actor. But our lifestyle should be exuding the majesty of God in everything we do. Wednesday night shouldn't have such a few, right? Wednesday night, this place should be packed. You know that most churches in America don't even have a midweek service anymore? You know? Because the people, the church folks, just don't want to come. Just don't want to come. I don't know, I have no idea what's on TV on a Wednesday night. But something is keeping people away from the body of Christ. Don't know what it is. I haven't been in front of the TV on a Wednesday night in 30 years, I guess. Don't know. But it's been a long time. Anyhow, God is speaking to Jeremiah. We're in chapter 1 and starting in verse 16 and working through. Let's start back up a little bit before then. Verse 14 in chapter 1. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Look at 16 again carefully, because this is where we're really picking up. God said, I'm sending in a different group of people. I'm sending in a foreign nation over top of Israel, over top of Jerusalem. All right? And I will utter my judgments against them, all their wickedness, for who have forsaken me and have burnt incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. So ask yourself right now, why is God sending judgment into Jerusalem? Read 16 carefully. Come up with an answer.
They forsake.
They forsaken God, and they burned incense unto other gods. They worshiped, they prayed to other gods, and they worshiped the work of their own hands. In America, what does that look like? In America, how are we as Christians burning incense to other gods and worshiping the work of our own hands? Look at how the Church of America is in a stiff decline. How many people only come to worship God when it fits in their little square? I will only worship God when it's convenient to me. And if it isn't convenient to me, I'm not going to worship God. How many Christians that we know, people who profess Jesus Christ with their own mouth, they say they are Christians, but their heart is nowhere near God. They'll do anything else except sacrifice themselves or follow the true statutes and the commandments of God. But when something they want to do comes up, that's exactly what they do. No self-sacrifice, or very little self-sacrifice. I'm trying to stay away from all and every, all right? Because when I say all and every, somebody gets their upsetness all wadded up. And they say, well, it's not all and every. I know three people. All right, praise God. There may be three people. Right? And there might be 5,000 people. There may be 50 million people. But for what I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And one's the pastor's wife, one's the pastor. Okay, so I don't know if you can count us. Right? So what's happening to the church? What's happening to the church? What was happening to Israel at their time before God sent judgment? People were worshiping the work of their own hands. I would love to come worship on Wednesday or on Sunday night. You know, we quit doing Sunday night services because it was Cliff and Wendy, Justin, myself, and Debbie. That's all that would show up on Wednesday night. For years. Right? For years. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sunday night.
All right, and it's getting that way on Wednesday night. You know, we do have a handful. But like James, he came into church today and said, Curtis, what's happened? I remember years ago when I came here that people would be here 45 minutes early, fellowshipping and talking and enjoying each other's company and being part of the church. It's 5 minutes after 7, where is everybody? Him and Bonnie, they thought they came to the wrong place. Right? What, did they all cancel church? You know? And something is wrong with the heart of the believer in America today. Something's wrong with us. And the sad thing is, I don't sense that most born-again believers even recognize what's happening. That they don't even see it that is going on. That their heart has waxed cold. That they are worshiping other things. They're burning incense to other gods. They're doing...
Idolatry.
Yes. It's idolatry.
It could be anything.
Absolutely. So I don't want to put parameters around this because it's way too vast of a field. That's why God spoke to Jeremiah. This is what happened. They have forsaken me, and they burn incense unto other gods and worship the works of their own hands. Now, this is for us, verse 17. This is for the church, right? Those who are called of God to be witnesses of God. Thou, therefore, gird up thy loins and rise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Glory to God right there, right? For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. All right, now check out what he's saying. God has prepared you, Kevin, you, Wendy, you, Dave, you, John, you, Bonnie, you, Debbie, you, James, you, Justin, and me. Right? He has called us to... Sorry, Gail. I skipped. Gail, too. And I was looking at James. I didn't even... I'm sorry. Tried to call him all. Thank you, Dave, for pointing it out. Amen. But he has called us to be fearless amongst the people that are called of God. Because he's talking to Jeremiah, you're going to go to the princes, you're going to go to the priest, you're going to go into the synagogue, you're going to go before the people, and you're going to declare what I have told you to declare. And they are going to hate you. They're going to come against you. They're going to try to destroy you. But fear not. I'm with you. I have made you a brazen gate. I have made you a strong city. I have made you these things. And Matthew 16 and 18 says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, right? God has called us to be a people that stands up in the midst of darkness. And remember, judgment's got to start right here at the church. We got to be talking to the people that we know. Don't get me wrong, we need to go witness to the lost, amen, no doubt. But I think some of us true, spirit-filled, born-again Christians ought to be witnessing to the other so-called born-again Christians that we know. Calling them out. Saying, listen, folks, you say that you're walking with God, look at your life really. Are you really and truly identifying, are you being a witness unto Jesus Christ? Is that one of your pillars? The world is watching and God is weeping because the church of Jesus Christ has become a tent instead of a building. We've decreased and not increased. We've backed away and not walked forward. As God is talking to Jeremiah, gird up thy loins. All right, church, gird up your loins. Put on your big boy pants. That's what he's saying. Suck it up. Be prepared. Get a little bit of guts. Get a little bit of backbone. And stop being so weenified against the so-called believers of Jerusalem, the believers in the church, and start confronting them with the written word of God, with the spoken word of God. Don't confront them with your person, with your own ideals. Don't confront them with your personal emotions. What's I forget the girl who's saying, what's love got to do with it? Can't call her name, anyhow.
What's love got to do
I can't call her name anyhow. But she's had that song. So what do your emotions have to do with it when there's a reality that needs to be proclaimed? It's not about what they think about you. It's not about what the world thinks. It's not about what other Christians think that you are. If you are speaking the truth, unperverted, undiluted word of God, don't worry about what they're thinking about you. Worry about what God has called you to do and start doing that. Let me tell you, you're going to lose a lot of your Christian friends. When you confront them with the written word of God, thus saith the Lord, when you forsake the assembly, when you stop following the commandments and the statutes of God, God will chasten his people, and he may bring us into bondage. My personal heart, I hate to talk about my heart because I know it's wicked beyond all imagination, but the character of God, let me go that way, not my heart. The character of God says when the people of God turn away from his statutes and turn away from his commandments, then he pulls them out of the land. Everybody knows 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by. Do you know what 18 and 19 say? Let's just go there real quick. 2 Chronicles.
What?
7:14, so 7:18 and 19.
Second or first?
Second. I think the second Chronicles.
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Seven. Well, let's just start in 19. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, I will pluck you up by the roots out of my land which I have given unto them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all the nations. And this house which is high shall be brought to be an astonishment to every one that passes by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto the land, unto this land, and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold of other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore he hath brought this evil upon them. Okay, everybody knows, if my people who are called by my name would pray. How many people quote the rest of the scripture? God says, when my people have turned away from me, I'm going to pluck you up out of the land. When the church in the wilderness, when the Hebrew people, when the Israelites, this is before Christ, this is before Christianity, all right, when they turned away from God, God said, I'm going to pull you out of my land. I'm going to destroy you. You're going to be a heap and a byword by all the nations. Church, I think that the church, the so-called church, especially in America, is on the precipices of that. We are about ready to be plucked up out of the land because Christians do not fear God more than they fear Oprah Winfrey. Or you name the movie star of the moment. Or the political deity of the moment. So who's... So who is God calling to stand up in the midst of the congregation? Is he talking to you? Talking to me?
Can I just say something?
Yes, yeah.
I'm actually feeling a little bad.
Okay.
Because everybody's subjected. This message is clearly for me. So if you guys just want to talk amongst yourself.
No, it's not for you, Ivy.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It's for everyone.
It's the unspoken. It's the unspoken. And praise God.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. He's so just...
Like I said, talk amongst yourself. And so, anyhow, in that Wednesday and Winnie, praise God for that, because God's working on you, because he had to work on me with this. These are hard and dark sayings of the Lord. Nothing's easy about this. And I hate preaching it to my Wednesday night congregation, all 10 of you, right? But somebody needs to fan the flames, right? We there's a spark in amongst us. There's a heart and a desire to be these people. But something's missing. You know, something's missing. In the body of Christ, there's not a heart for Christ. And it has to start in a house, right? It has to start in the body of Christ, right? Amen? It's got to start right here. I've got to feel this fire. I've got to feel this conviction. I've got to be pierced and trust God enough to move forward with what thus saith the Lord. All right? Yep. That means when I confront my brother who's supposed to be in the pew beside me, in the bench beside me, in the chair beside me, and you say, well, where were you? And I'm not joking. I need to be right in his face. What were you worshiping on Sunday and on Wednesday and on Sunday night besides the fellowship, the coming together to study God's word? What was more important? What was more important? Yeah, because really, that's what it is. And we, as the church in America, everybody, if you ask them, God's the most important thing to me, except for my kids' baseball team. God's the most important thing for me, except for people driving around in circles on a Sunday or pushing that stupid ball, feet ball, right? That they dress up in these things. Men slap each other on the derriere, and they try to push a ball from one side of the field to the other. And they got little girls with pom-poms screaming on the sidelines. Worshipping things made with their own hands. Right? Their own imagination. Honoring anything except God with no fear of God.
It's just a cyclical thing. I mean, look at the book of Judges. It's just,
thank you. It is.
They turn away. Mm-hmm. Right. Psalm 107.
107, yeah.
Yeah.
That over and over again. But see, if God is for you, there is no weapon that shall prosper. I think that's Isaiah 54. No weapon shall prosper against you. If you walk in the statutes of God, if you do the commandments of God, this young man that you showed that picture of, right? And God bless him. But as he does not turn away, although he may perish in this life, he's going to have a great reward. And the testimony he's going to leave behind, whether he knows it, whether he sees it, whether he understands it or not, will indelibly imprint the image of God in every person who persecuted him. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the way. Long as you don't quit. Long as you don't stop. Long as you don't cease to persevere. You've got to push for that high call of Christ. You've got to love God more than you love anything else. Yourself. Or else you cannot be Jesus' disciple. You see, when he talks about in verse 17, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. All right, and I know that he's talking to Jeremiah here, but he's also talking to me.
Amen.
You know, and I'm not trying to take it out of context or make something weird out of it. But this scripture was written for the church. It was written for those who fear God, who are called by God to be a forth teller, a prophet of the Lord. Yeah.
I think of somebody's in the battle.
Yeah.
And they don't look around at just what they see and decide how they're going to fight it. Right?
Yeah.
They look to the general. They
yes.
look to the leader. They look to the, because they have to be told what to do, where to go, because they can't see it all. We can see
yeah.
so little.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what we do see half the time is deceiving.
Amen. You're right. You know, and we get all caught off guard. We get worried about other things, right? And it happens to all of us all the time. So what do we do? How do you get unplugged from the deceitfulness that's around us? Because our enemy that we're fighting, he is the deceiver. He is the one that's putting all of these false pictures up for you. Ooh, look over here. Worship this thing. Did God really say that you need to come together and to study and to be on a midweek service. Did God really say that you need to do that? Did God really say you need to come on the first day of the week and really be prepared for worship? Yes, he did say that. In fact, we're supposed to break bread in everybody's house and go around and just fellowship together. That's what the church is made to be. Somehow we've lost that. Well, I have good news. If the economy really does collapse, we will be coming around. The church will get a lot tighter, all right, than what it is now, right? And so, I speak unto them that all that I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. When you go before the brethren to proclaim the word of God, do not be afraid, because if you show fear, God will stumble your speech. I will confound you. If God said, go and talk to brother so-and-so about such-and-such, because you know, because you have an intimate relationship with that, a close friend relationship, and you know things, go and confront that brother saying, listen, you're worshiping NFL soccer, you're worshiping golf, you're worshiping mowing your lawn, you're worshiping whatever it is that they're worshiping above God. It is our high call and duty to confront that, to expose that, and to pull them or give them a way back to the body of Christ. We're not to do it to condemn nobody. We're just to proclaim the truth of God's word before them. And the Holy Spirit will do it. Now, when you do that, don't expect that they're going to like it. In fact, it says that they won't like it at all. Verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee. All right? So God is saying, Wendy, Galen, Dave, the rest of y'all, I have prepared you guys, right? You're a brazen wall. Nothing can touch you. If I am your shield, if I am your buckler, God, if God is your buckler, if God is your shield, do not worry about what the world is going to do. Don't worry about what Queen Hochul is going to do, or King Biden is going to do, or Obama, or the Prince of the Power of the Air. Don't worry about those things. If you are called of God to proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord, the only thing you need to fear is when you don't do that. You understand? Because when God calls you to do it and you do not do it, then God says, I'm going to confound you in front of them, and you're going to look like a fool. But when you do what God told you to, he says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to make you like an iron pillar or brazen walls, a defense city. And you're going to go against the whole land. The whole land. You are going to go with the power of God. Remember, he's talking to one guy that's going to go against all of the priests, that's going to go against all of the kings, that's going to go against all of the principalities of Israel and Jerusalem in his day. And he's going to go head on with them. And they're going to hate him for it. You'll see as you get further into the book, they're going to persecute him nearly to death. What Jeremiah goes through, he wrote Lamentations because it broke his heart. Because he knew the truth, he tried to deliver the truth to the people, and people hated him because he loved God more than he loved them. Those are hard things. These are some of those dark sayings of the Lord. Is it Psalm 78 and 79? I think it's right in that cluster of psalm, that psalm that right in there, God's talking about the dark sayings of the Lord, the hard things of God. And he doesn't back away from the hard things. He comes right out and tells you, you are sinning against me. You have disgraced my name. I blessed you. I gave you my signet ring, and you spat on it. See, God gave us a saving grace. God's supposed to, not supposed to, because he did these things. He gave us a new heart in a wicked time. But the majority of the church, doesn't even care. See how cheerful it is to come on Wednesday? No wonder people don't come on Wednesday night. You know, this is so uplifting.
Well, it's Jeremiah.
Yeah, it's Jeremiah. You can't candy coat this stuff.
Can't candy coat it.
Amen. And so, in chapter 2, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall be offended. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? Okay. Did you hear what Jeremiah just cried out? What God just cried out? When we talk to people, remember the good stuff first. I love the way that this works out. I remember when we had sweet fellowship together. You know, like James said, I remember when we would come on a Wednesday night, place would be a lot of folks there, and then just be happy to be there. And he remembers. He's been away for a while, so when he comes, it's like different. It's like really different. It's kind of like when you know somebody when they're 3 years old, right? And then you move away, right, for a couple, 4 or 5 years, and you come back, and here they are, nearly a teenager, and you remember them as 3 years old, like they stopped. They didn't grow. So when James was part of the early church, right, over in Caledonia, folks, where all that stuff was happening, and then he went away for a while, got his job, got life, got college, all that kind of stuff, and came back and says, dude, what happened?
Did you say it like that, Jake?
not just like that, but very close.
Dude.
So, see, Israel was supposed to be the holy. Israel was not supposed to be, was the holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall be offended. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. God protected Israel when Israel's heart was towards God. When they were filled with the loving kindness of his youth, the loving espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, when Israel was hungering and thirsting and needing God, God was everything. He supplied their every want, every need.
107.
Amen. You're right. Psalm 107. It pulls. He restores them. He brought them back. He nurtured them. Because they always turn back to God until Judges, right? All right, this was Psalms was after Judges, but Judges, they raised up a generation that knew not God. And then they went the ways of the people of the land. That was after Joshua and all the elders that came across died, that crossed the Jordan. All of them died except for Caleb and Joshua. But all the rest of them, well, no, it was after that, right? Because after they said all those folks had passed away, and then they raised a generation that knew not God, and then they went a whoring after other gods. I think the church is in that spot now. We have raised a generation that knows not God. They come to church, they jump through all the hoops, they know some Christianese, that's Chinese for Christian folks. And they know a few of the phrases. They know all the songs. They hold up their cell phones with their ceilings painted black, and they wave it back and forth. Right?
But we've incorporated God into our culture.
Thank you.
Instead of forsaking our culture.
Oh, when you are right on there, we have pulled God down and blended him and made him American.
Yeah.
With bell bottom blue jeans on. Jesus, he's my friend. Jesus, he's all right with me.
Hey, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Rob.
Because I hear a lot of people like talk about, oh, the church is this way, the church is that way. Like, that's cool, but like, do you actually have like a solution?
Yes.
Instead of just saying like,
yes.
It should be this way, but like should, could, would, like this mm-hmm. is like the reality, you know what I'm saying?
Here's the solution. You're the solution.
Yeah.
Right? How many people are in your sphere of influence?
Few,
right? When we talk about folks who are in their sphere of influence, whether they're Christian or not, do we proclaim God? Or do we talk about something else? Talk about the ball game, talk about the weather, talk about the wars and the rumors of wars, talk about the high cost of living today, talk about the mess that's in the world. Talk about the chemtrails, talk about this, talk about that, talk about whatever, but do we ever really talk about God, his faithfulness, what he has done for me? You want to see it change, James? Because I do. We need to change the conversation, right? The church needs to change the conversation. That's what God is calling Jeremiah to do. When I put it on your heart to say these things, you got to say it. Even if you know your friends aren't going to like you afterward. You've got to say it. You've got to talk about the goodness of God. You've got to talk about the hope that lives within you. I can't do it from the pulpit, right? Because nobody. So few people come to hear the word of God from the pulpit. In this church, we're blessed. Because we got a group of people on Sunday that hunger and thirst after God's word. Amen? Absolutely we do. And not trying to take anything away from that. But the church in America as a whole has gone into this convenience religiosity. Right? Jesus, he's my friend. He'll never judge me.
It's prosperity.
Prosperity.
I mean, what happened is it's when, you know, how many times the Lord tell Israel when I bless you,
yeah,
and then you'll forget me.
You'll forget me.
You'll turn away from it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happened to us.
We're
a country. We all got all the little gadgets.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, James. Yeah.
Like, I feel like we also have to be real because it's
yes.
I don't think it's gonna ever go back to the way it was because like we're so far into it, you know.
Yeah. I'm with you, brother. Yeah, we talk about it. I went to this. I cannot find a mountain. And when I was a child, we went to the hills. It could have been anywhere from Georgia up to Kentucky. My first stepfather had some relatives that lived up there, and there was a big granite. There's a mountain with a huge granite boulder on top of it, and you could go up to the top of the granite boulder. And on that granite boulder, they had a green line that you were safe in. After that, a little ways out, there was a yellow line. And just a little bit past that, there was a red line. If you got to the red line, you were already falling, even though your feet were still on the rock. You had gone over so far because the curvature of that stone was so slick and so slow. If you got to that red line, you were already, gravity had already gotten you. That's what's happened to the church. We ignored the green line. We ignored the red, the yellow line. And the majority of the believers, or so-called believers in Jesus Christ, have listened to the doctrines of man so much that we've crossed the red line. And go ahead.
The one thing I would say, James, I think, you say we couldn't go back there.
Yeah.
God is the same.
Yeah.
Right? Yesterday, yeah. Today, and forever. And so if we are a people that puts him ahead of anything
yes,
else in our life,
yes, thank you.
He is not a part of our life. He is our life. So that when you come to the campfire, did you come to the campfire last
yeah.
Friday? And you see that fellowship and you see that sharing. And,
right.
And that's what it is. And that's what it was 20 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, but like, it's not the vast majority.
No.
But you start with what you have.
Yeah, amen. So don't look for the big thing. Look for the small thing. You know what I'm grateful for? 10 souls sitting in this church today.
Amen.
You know? How long have we been doing this? 6 weeks or something. Church stuff. When did I start preaching?
2011.
Okay, 2011. So how many years is that?
It's 2022.
Okay, so anyhow, for a couple months, I've been doing this, right? And I remember those days that you're talking about, right? When it seemed like there was just a buzz and excitement, a thing that was happening, you know? And then look at the guys you used to hang out with that were part of this body that were on fire. Where are they now?
But when things happen,
yeah,
they'll be back.
Yeah.
When
things happen. When they get tired of going their own way. You came back.
Yay! Praise God! I mean, yes!
You are a victory.
Amen.
To me. You know? And I know you can come up with excuses. Well, I'm not quite there yet. Well, brother, I'm not quite there yet. Alright? So, I'll take what I got. And I'll be grateful for it. Right? Yeah, you're right. It's, again, we went over 2 Chronicles 7:19 to the end of the chapter, right? But 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That's when it's going to change. When the 10 of us get together with an honest heart and really seek God, God will change. God, he won't change what he's going to do, but he will honor the prayer of the righteous availeth much. You ask a wonderful question, and I need to ask this. How much do we really pray?
Not much.
Right? Amen. Is God bless me, give me enough gas to get from here to there, feed me today, woohoo, it's all good. But how much do we really, really pray? Right?
He's waiting for us.
He is waiting, yeah. He's like on the edge of heaven with his ear like this. And, well, where's that? We looked at it the other few, when we were meeting on Saturdays before the summer happened. he was searching for a man to stand the gap. Standing in the gap, but he found no man. So God was searching the world over to find one man, a Jeremiah, a James, a Jesse, a Wendy, a Ava, a Bonnie, a Debbie, a John, a Dave, you know, to stand. Did I miss anybody?
No, but you know everyone's name.
Yeah, I do. It really is. That's, for me, that's a big smiley face on my paper. I'm glad more of you are here. I'd have to go, youth guy. When the people of God really come back to God, when those who proclaim Jesus Christ with their mouth truly turn their heart back. See, when Jeremiah is writing this, or when these things are coming out of him, there was still a chance for the people to repent. If they would have only hearkened to the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, God would have held off Nebuchadnezzar for a time. Mm-hmm. Right? If the church in America would really and truly pray and circumcise their heart, tear their heart, not their garments, not just pray. I hate to call them mealy mouth prayers, but I don't know another word for it. They're not sincere. It's a prayer about me, to bless me, to feed me, to make me fatter, to give me more stuff, keep me healthy. You know, I quit praying for my health. Yeah, and you know, I would rather pray for yours. Really and truly. And not that God doesn't want to heal us. He does want to heal us. But I think our sickness is not COVID or this disease or that disease. Our sickness is we have turned away from the living God. And God has allowed the diseases of the world to infiltrate the spirits of his people because his people did not pray. But if we would, if the church would really, really pray, if we would come together as a vessel desiring to be emptied out and filled with the commandments and the statutes of God, and live them, don't walk in them, live them as part of your cloak, as like getting up in the morning and brushing your teeth, that type of thing. It becomes a part of you. And then this pillar on the other side here, this pillar, it's not even Sunday, I'll turn around the whiteboard. This pillar of being the witness of God would happen. It would just happen. Not witnessing about Jesus Christ. I think we witness about Jesus Christ plenty. But do we witness, are we a witness to the world of who God really is? Do we proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord? Do we send out warnings to the people? That's what Jeremiah is going to be asked to do. Go and warn the people, because the people, Israel, have turned against God, turned against his way, his will, his love, and they had started walking in the imaginations of their own mind, turning away from the truth and following their heart. I'm sure if they had a way to embroider it in their little tunics and stuff, they would have said something that would say, just do it. You know, like we have on all of our t-shirts and stuff like that. Just do what feels good. Don't worry. God love. We're God's chosen people. We're the church. We're his bride. Don't worry about it. Let's just live our life and do what we want to do. And that's, over the last 100 years, give or take a little bit, that has been the canker, the cancer that has been in the American church. We stopped really worshiping God. And we turned it into, what's that song? We turned it into just a song. And not a lifestyle of Jesus Christ in our lives. Got something, honey? Where he says in verse 5, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me? I ask that to the church. What iniquity have we found in God that would make us want to worship something else? What flaw was in God that would make the Church of America not want the God of creation? That's a good question to ask your Christian brothers and sisters. What iniquity have you found? And they're going to get mad. They're going to say, we have found no iniquity in God. And then you ask them, well, why do you live the way you do? Why do you choose other things above God? If you found no iniquity, you found nothing wrong with God, but you don't really want God the way that God demands to be wanted. I think we've forgotten that in the church, that God demands these things.
He's a jealous God.
He's a jealous God. And see, we've gotten away from that in the church. And I can't blame the people. I blame the pulpits. I blame the pastors that are too afraid of the people to say, thus says the Lord. Simple things that we ought to know, and I'm not going to get into the gender thing, but we know there are two. We went to a Right to Life banquet, and they had a female preacher open the thing. Where, and then the Smith, female preacher, told everybody to raise their hands. I looked around. Our table didn't raise their hand, but most every other table in the whole place raised their hand. Because some chick that shouldn't have been a preacher to start with told them to raise their hands. So if she would have said, Simon says, jump on one foot and raise your hand, I bet they would have done it. Playing this, you play stupid games, you win stupid tricks, prizes, you know? The Church of Jesus Christ is playing stupid games, following symbols and idols and people who claim to know God but have no idea who God is. So how do we fix it, James? One person, Jeremiah, James, me, Justin, Kat, all of us. It takes us to say, thus says the Lord, without apology, without backing down, without fear. And it's going to make some people mad. But God says, I've made you a defensible city. I've made you a brass wall that cannot be destroyed if you do what he says. I really planned on getting further on this than what I did. But this is, for our day and time, the book of Jeremiah, when you go through it, it ought to slaughter us when we really look at what the church is and the holiness of God. Remember, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's Matthew 16, right? I've got it written right here in my Bible. Matthew 16, 18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Well, the gates of hell didn't prevail. You know what the church did? Stop being the city. That's what stopped. God didn't lose his power. The church lost their faith. It went following other things that are not God. The scripture calls it the God of whoring after other gods. So cheer up. happy day. Ready? These are some of the dark sayings of God. But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's heart is still God's heart. And he's still looking for a person to stand the gap. And if the Lord's talked to you today, that may be you. That's going to be between you and him. See, I can't tell you to do that. That has to be, you got to be called by God to do it. But if you're here on a Wednesday night, and I can't say you're not home painting your toenails because my wife asked me not to use that analogy anymore. All right? You're not going somewhere else, doing some other thing, whatever that other thing is. Right? It's Wednesday night, and we're all way past kids, so I can't even blame it on my kids, right? I got to make sure my kids are in bed by such and such time. In reality, nobody. Few people do that, right? Their kids are on their cell phones until 4 o'clock in the morning, and they wonder why they can't get up and go to the brainwashing places called school. Anyhow, I need to...
Preach it, man.
Preach it, yo.
The thing is that we don't recognize who God is.
Yeah, thank you, sister.
In any given second, if we grasp who he is,
then all of these things become real to us. Right? Yeah. So, who do you say this Jesus is? Mm-hmm. Who do you say he is? What does your life say who this Jesus is? Because your lips can draw nigh to the Lord and your heart be far from you. Folks, I love you. And I fear God. I do. I fear God. And I am in a fearful state for America, this land that I was born into. I'm fearful because we were once a godly nation. You got to go back to the 1600s, but we were there at one time. We really were. We had people that knew and feared and reverenced the Lord. Not all of us, but the vast majority. And it has turned
Satanism,
world lust, believing the lie. Did God really say that you must worship Him with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? You've got to love God more than you love your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own wife. That He has to be paramount in your world, or you can't even be His student, you can't be His disciple. And He died for the church. He died for the sin of the world. He called you out of darkness into His glorious light that we might be the light of God in a dark and dying world. Unfortunately, the majority of Christians, I don't even want to call them Christians, the majority of church-going people today are more of a black light than a bright light. Their heart's not really with God. Their desires are somewhere else. They want other things. And they really don't fear God. The majority of the church in America doesn't really fear God because of false doctrine being taught from the pulpits. You know? I love you. I keep saying that. I really do, guys. Thanks for coming. We'll pick up. We'll probably start chapter 2 again because we didn't get that far into it. And if we keep up at this pace, we'll be in Jeremiah when the Lord comes back, right?
It's a long
book. And so I'll have to find a great verse that we could end on every week like we did in Ecclesiastes. So anyhow, yeah, my goodness, I'm flipping through it, still going 52. How many chapters are in? 60? 58? 52. Yeah, 52. So, and we're in third verse of chapter 2.
Well, I...
3 weeks down.
There's a verse you can read every week.
Yeah.
107, is it 15?
Okay, yeah, in the Psalms, yeah.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works of the children of men, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful way to end?
That is. It really is.
Because that's what He's looking for.
Yeah.
He's looking for a people that
for
will,
people that will
love
Him
and thank Him.
And put Him first and
put
foremost
him.
In their lives.
Yeah.
Because He's worthy of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Amen.
Who wants to close in prayer? Wendy, could you close in prayer? I know it's a woman don't, I can't pray in church. This is a family.
Lord Jesus, we come before You tonight, and Lord, You are beautiful, and You are holy, and no one will ever love us as You love us. No one will ever know us as You know us. No one will ever forgive us like You forgive us. And Lord, if we can grasp that, how do we not give You our best? How do we not lay down our lives? And yet, it is a struggle. Mm. Father, I pray that every person here tonight, as we leave this place, as we drive home, as we get ready for bed, we get into bed, let us to be mindful of what is it that we need to lay down next? Mm. What is it that we need to do to draw us closer to You? It is not You drawing closer to us. It is us drawing closer to You.
Yes.
And Lord, help us to see, each of us individually, the next thing that we need to look at, that we need to lay down, that we need to confess, that we need to set aside, that easily besets us, Lord. And let us just continue on this walk. I pray.
pray for each other. I pray for those that are not here tonight, for there are many sincere and wonderful brothers and sisters that simply could not be here tonight. I just pray for charity, and I pray that we love one another as you called us to. But above all, Lord, that you are our Father. You are our God, and that people looking out will know this. And we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Have a strong week.
There's a campfire this Friday.
Campfire this Friday, yep. And are we going to do the weenies?
I'll probably get some, yeah.
Okay. So we're thinking about